along with us in the Bible this year, then you'll be given the spiritual food that you need to keep going for God and overcoming the obstacles in life. I tell people, if you're going to live, you're going to face obstacles. If you don't want to face struggles and obstacles, go to heaven. But as long as you're going to live, you're going to need the Word of God, and reading the Word of God will help you. And so I'm choosing for my text this evening a verse from our reading from, I believe it was this day, in the book of Acts. How many of you read Acts chapter 27? All right, I'm actually going to choose it from your own reading today. The apostle was addressing the people on a ship, as you will know, that was doomed to be shipwrecked. The ship had 276 passengers. Kind of reminds me of a big jet, you know, flying. It had 276 passengers, and they had been fighting a terrible storm on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was so bad that they had been fasting, eating no food at all for 14 days. It was right at this point that Luke wrote in Acts 27:20, and he said, "All hope that we should be saved was thus taken away." Have you ever been in that kind of hopeless place where all hope of a good outcome in your life was dashed, taken away, that there should be a good outcome? Boy, I've been there. Apostle Paul was there. Have you ever been there maritally? Have you ever been there financially? Have you ever been there spiritually? Maybe physically, you've been there, all hope taken away that you could be saved. These people had no hope concerning their present circumstances. And perhaps you've been there where you could see no way out. Maybe you are there right now. You've got something, you could see no way out of it. It's continued for so long in your life that all your previous hopes have been dashed. And I believe that you need the text I've been led to preach on tonight. It's in Acts 27, and my text is verse number 25. The Apostle Paul writing, or written about him, he said this, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe that it shall be even as it was told me." Let me say that again. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." The name of my sermon tonight is Cheer Up. Cheer up. I said cheer up. Number one, because of promises from God for you. Notice in verse 27 of our text of Acts 27, I'll read it again. It says verse 25. Acts 27, verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Now, wait a minute here. Whenever you see a wherefore in the Bible, you're supposed to ask why for. The Holy Spirit put it therefore, or put it wherefore. So why is that wherefore there? Well, it looks back to what's just been written in verse 22. So let's look at 22 through 24. He says in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Now remember, we just said that they had no hope that they would ever get out of this. They had no hope that they would ever live. They had no hope that they would ever survive. All that hope that they had was now taken away. And it's at this point, when there is no human hope, that God steps in. And the Apostle Paul says, "I want you to be of good cheer. I exhort you to be of good cheer." By the way, tonight, even if your hopes have been dashed, if they've been taken away, I exhort you to be of good cheer. And Paul said, For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He said, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So God, through an angel, spoke to the apostle, and he said, Paul, you will not die. You will go before Caesar. Even though all hope is taken away, I guarantee you will survive, and I'm giving you all 276 people that are on this boat with you, and they shall not die. And so the Apostle Paul said, because of the promise from God for them, cheer up. Cheer up. But what about me? I'm saying to you tonight, cheer up. Cheer up. I'm talking to you as a believer, and I'm saying, cheer up tonight. Cheer up. If you're discouraged, cheer up. If you're disheartened, cheer up. If you're down, cheer up. And you say, well, why do that? Well, firstly, my reply is that if you might object to me and you might say, well, I have had no such experience, have an angel of God tap on my shoulder and say, cheer up, because I'm going to bless you in this way. And you might say that, so why can't I cheer up? And I might reply back to you that it was the apostle himself that received the message and gave it to them. Okay? The angel didn't tap each person on the shoulder. He tapped the apostle. So they got the message through a messenger, the apostle Paul. And he gave them the revelation that God had given him. But secondly, I might say to you, if you say to me, I don't have an angel telling me to cheer up, so why should I listen? I might say to you, hey, am I chopped liver tonight? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it says that your angel in Scranton Revival Baptist Church is your pastor who comes to you week after week with a message from God's Word. And what do I have in God's Word to give you? I have the promises of Almighty God. You can read them for yourself. But you have a messenger, an angel of the church that got the message. And I can tell you on the authority of Scripture, you have every reason tonight to cheer up, and so cheer up. Get full of good cheer tonight. Because of the promises of Almighty God that are from God, and they're for you, beloved, tonight. And again, you may object and you say, well, you didn't get it directly from God as the Apostle Paul did. But wait a minute. Look at what the Apostle Peter wrote under divine inspiration. He said, speaking of the Bible as opposed to an audible voice, he said, we've heard audible voices. We have seen God face to face on the Mount of Transfiguration, the person of Jesus. He said, but listen. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Thus, I want to say to you, if you're hopeless tonight because of marriage problems, your finances, your health, your spiritual life, whatever your problems may be in this world that have got you to be discouraged, then it's because you have not been taking proper heed to these promises of God that are written in the Word of God for you. For you to be what? Cheerful. For you to be what? Joyful. For you to be what? Encouraged. And so I say to you, be of good cheer tonight. I say to you, cheer up. Why? Because of the promises of God in your life. And perhaps I have to give you a possible rebuke. You've not been feeding on the Word of God as you ought. You've not been feeding on the promises of God as you ought. You've not been meditating on the promises of God as you ought. You've not been hearing with your ears the promises of God as you ought. And therefore, you're not cheered. You're not cheering, cheered up. you're down, you're under the circumstances. Like somebody said one time, how are you doing? Oh, I'm all right under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? We're not under the circumstances. Last I checked, we're over the clouds. Last I checked, we're in the heavenlies. The last I checked, we're in Christ Jesus. And I'm saying to you tonight, let your face listen to what your heart is telling you from the Word of God, and you'll find God is the help of your countenance and your God. You'll find that you'll cheer up, and you need to cheer up, I say tonight, because of the promises of Almighty God. And what a blessing that is. It's written there. Now, I'm saying that you should cheer up because these promises of God are for you, beloved. It says in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us, who's us? Every believer. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, the longer I go, the more I realize the dollar is losing its value. Amen. People around the world are out of the dollar, and they're saying the dollar is losing its value. It's losing its purchasing power. And so you say, well, what's more valuable than the dollar? Land. What's more valuable than the dollar? Houses that are paid off. What's more valuable than the dollar? Gold. What's more valuable than the dollar? Silver. What's more valuable than the dollar? Precious stones, and so on and so forth. But wait a minute. What's more precious than all of that? The promises of Almighty God. The Word of Almighty God. I get paid more than anybody in the world because I am set apart to study, to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I'm going to meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then I'll make my way prosperous. Then I'll have good success. Beloved, the promises of God are never changing and never failing. They aren't. They're precious. Therefore, I am of good cheer tonight. Therefore, I am cheerful tonight. Therefore, I am bright tonight. Therefore, I am thankful tonight. Why can I cheer up? Because not only did Paul have a promise from God that everyone would be saved, that nobody would be lost on that ship, but I have exceeding great and precious promises from God. And so do you, beloved. And I want to encourage you to lay hold of them. Somebody calculated that there are 3,800 divine promises from the book of Revelation to the book of Genesis for you. There are a veritable gold mine of promises that you have been given, and you can find at least one, certainly, that meets the need of your face tonight. To cheer your face, to cheer your countenance. So I repeat, cheer up because of the promises of God for you. He says, wherefore, listen, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe God that it will be even as it was told you in the book here? Well, it will be, because the promises of God are yea and amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. His word is true. He keeps his promises. And so you have good reason tonight to cheer up. But you may say to me, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've lost a loved one. I have had a loved one die, and you may not have gone through that, Pastor, and so you don't understand exactly what I'm going through, and how can you tell me to cheer up? Well, I can point you again to another promise of God and read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you tonight. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me just say that last phrase again. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. Let me just say that again. And so we shall be ever with the Lord. Cheer up. I believe it shall be even as it was spoken, that we shall be ever with the Lord. We'll never be separated from him again. We'll never sin again. We'll never die again. We'll never get sick again. We will ever be with the Lord to look at his lovely face and his grace. If that isn't enough, I don't know what is. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I said with these words. Where are you getting your comfort tonight? In the Dow Jones Industrial Average? In the NASDAQ? In the White House? Best to get it in the outhouse than there. Where are you getting your comfort tonight? With these words. With these. Wherefore I believe it shall be even as it was spoken to me. Ah, yes. I believe it shall be even as it was told me in the word of God. And you should also. So I'm saying tonight that we should indeed cheer up. And God says, use this promise to cheer up each other in the face of death of our loved ones, because he has promised us that is not the end, that the Lord has won the victory. And God says this, and again you may say to me, but you don't understand. The tribulations that have come upon me this week in this world or this month. Or you, Pastor, don't understand the troubles that I personally seen. And I'm not lying. You may have done what God wanted you to do and got gut punched by the world and by the devils. And you might feel like saying, don't even try to cheer me up tonight. It ain't gonna happen. Well, then how about letting Jesus give you one of his promises? He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. He told you. Amen. He said it. I know about your troubles. I know about your trials. I know about your problems at school. I know about your problems at work. I know that in the world you're going to see these things. I left you in the world knowing that, but I also want you to know that you can cheer up. Why? Because I will give you what you need to overcome. Amen. I will give you wings to fly over those things. I will give you wings to mount up like an eagle. I will do it for you. So cheer up. That's what he's saying here. That's a reason from the Lord for you to cheer up if you're facing problems. Do you know he's left problems in your life just so that you'll exercise faith in him? He's left problems in your life just so that you will take his promises and use them and conquer, and you can rise and conquer. So cheer up tonight. Cheer up tonight because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Cheer up tonight because of the promises of God. God says to you through his man in the book of Acts. He says this, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know what tribulation is, don't you? Pressure, the squeeze of the world upon you, the opposition of the devil, all that comes upon you, physically, financially, spiritually, in this world in which we live. And he says in Acts 14:22, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. How many of you have gone through troubles and trials and tribulation? Amen. So have I. I've been 45 years here as a pastor. I'm into my 45th year. Have I seen troubles? Have I seen trials? And I've seen Oh, yes, I have. But I'm not here to emphasize that tonight. I'm here to emphasize the promises of God. I'm here to emphasize the power of God and the fact that God will see you through. I don't have anything special except the power and presence and promises of Almighty God. And so tonight you can be of good cheer. Amen. And why? Because of the promises from God for you. Wherefore, it says, be of good cheer. Now, number two, because of your faith in God's promises. Not only the promises of God, but listen to me tonight, because of your faith in God's promises. He says in Acts 27, verse 25, he also says, for I believe God. You know what? That's what you need to do. You need to believe God. You need to believe the word of God. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And she doubted God. And Abraham doubted God. And they doubted the promises of God that they would have a baby. But what happened? The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. You know what to stagger at the promises of God through unbelief means? You look over here and you see your inability. And then you look back to God and you see God's ability. Then you look back over here and you see your hopelessness. And then you look back to God's word and you see the sureness of his promise. And Abraham, instead of going back and forth between his inability and God's faithfulness and God's promise, he just decided, I'm not going to stagger back and forth. I'm going to stay myself right here upon the promise of God. And he believed God. And God gave him the power to have a baby at 100 years old. God gave his wife, well past mental pause, to conceive a child at 90 years old. You see, you need to believe God and take him at his word. You know what it says in Hebrews? It says, speaking of the Israelites in the wilderness, the writer of the Hebrews says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How many of you have ever baked bread? I haven't either. But I've known people that have baked bread, and I understand that when they're mixing the wheat flour or the flour for the bread that they're making, they have to mix if they want the bread to rise. What do they have to mix in? What is it called?
Yeast.
And then the bread rises. Listen, if you want to benefit from the promise of God, mix them that you receive with your faith. That's what activates the promise of God in your life, is the exercise of your faith. So when you find a promise of God that you know would meet a need in your life, combine that promise with your faith. And your faith says that it is as good as done. Paul was in a shipwreck situation. They had no way to get out. They lost hope of ever being brought back to shore. The ship was done for. The storm was just too relentless. And yet, Paul was told by God, I'm going to save you and everybody there. And he just took that and said, I believe God that it will be exactly as it was told me. I believe God, and the exact word is, he says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You see, God keeps his word to the letter. He keeps all of his promises, and they're definitely something you can count on. The key to your being cheered up is the formula F plus F equals C. That is, your faith concerning the facts from God's promise equals C, or cheer. When God hands you one of his great promises, you just need to reach out your empty hands of faith and combine your empty hands of faith with that promise and receive it for your need into your life. I think of Abraham, who lived by faith in a real inhospitable wilderness. I went to Israel in 2016. I went to Abraham's tent there. It was a facsimile of Abraham's tent, and we ate food there. But all around him was this inhospitable desert. It was a wilderness. It was not a pleasant place to be. And you need to understand that Abraham was living in a big city called the Ur, and it was the Ur of the Chaldees, and he had all the modern flowing water, he had all the modern grocery stores, he had abundance of food, he had beautiful palm trees, he had a beautiful climate, and Abraham was enjoying himself, and God said, I want you, Abraham, to leave all of this and go to a place that I'm telling you. And he traveled, and God just kept directing him, and finally he went 600 miles in a westerly direction, and he wound up right in the middle of a wilderness out there. And God said, this is the promised land. You know, some people have followed God's word. They say, I wound up here. This is my promised land. This is it. And you know what they do? They give up on God. They give up on listening to the man of God. Oh, he's just piping a bunch of fables, and I'm not going to listen to him anymore because he rises my hopes and dashes my hopes. And listen to me. Follow Abraham's example. Abraham followed God, and that's where he was in that place. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Indeed, it was strange. Amen. It was strange compared to where he left. If he was going to where it was familiar, he would have gone to a place called Haran, where he went at first, because that was a lot like the Ur of the Chaldees. But God said, keep going. His father died in Haran, and Terah died there. And God said, keep going, Abraham. Keep moving. And so he didn't go to what was familiar. He went to that which was strange. Some of you, your problem is you want to dwell in the familiar. You want to be in the comfort zone. You want to be where you're comfortable. I would rather be where God leads me and depend on God than depend on this world and the comforts of this world. And so I just keep stepping out. And the Bible says, as in a strange country. By faith he sojourned. How did he stay in that wilderness? How did he stay in that inhospitable desert? Following God when he could have been disappointed and said, I'm going back. This isn't what I imagined it to be. He stayed there by faith. Faith in the Word of God. And that's how you're going to stay. And he says, dwelling in tabernacles. He didn't live in a tabernacle in Ur. I don't believe he lived in a tabernacle. He lived in a mansion, a beautiful place. But he left all of that, and he was dwelling in tabernacles, which are basically tent-like structures that you take down and put up again. He was on the move. He was on the move. And it said, why? Why did he do that? All right, here it is. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, Abraham looked for a promised land. Did he see a lush promised land? The land is starting to look like a land with milk and honey now. I mean, when I went there, they had bananas. They had every kind of Mediterranean fruit and a Mediterranean climate. And they were saying that the people, like in Colombia, that they had gone to get counsel on how to grow bananas in Israel. Now the Colombians are coming to them and saying, wow, how do you do it? Because the land is starting to blossom, but it hasn't even begun to blossom like it's going to blossom when the kingdom comes. It's going to be like a veritable Garden of Eden. Abraham saw a desert, but my friend, He knew that that land, that earthly land, would be inherited by his children because God said it would be. And it would blossom like a rose. It would be a fruitful land. But he also knew something more than that. He was going to be not only the father of the nation of Israel, or the grandfather, but beloved, he was going to be part of the church of the firstborn. He was going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem. He was going to be in the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And even as he wandered in the wilderness, he could see that city. I can see Abraham up there now. I can see Isaac up there now. I can see Jacob up there now. And they get to walk and talk with Jesus. And someday I can see that city coming down out of the third heaven and dwelling right over the earthly Jerusalem and over the earthly promised land and over the earthly nation of Israel, and see the church of the firstborn with glorified bodies ruling and reigning over the kingdom of Christ. I'm saying to you, that's what Abraham was thinking about. That's what he was focused on. How about you tonight? The reason why you're a roller coaster Christian is because you're focused too much on the circumstances and conditions and too little on the promises of God. Faith focuses on God and on his promises. And some of you may have stepped out tonight in faith. You followed what God wanted you to do. And now you look next to you and you say, this is what I got. Or you look around you, this is what I got. And you get disappointed with the results. And they're not what you bargained for. That's your whole problem. You followed God with a bargain mentality. You need to follow God with an unconditional commitment mentality. And more of God's promises are what you need. And more of God's teaching and preaching of the Word of God are more of what you need. But what happens, people, they get out there and get discouraged, and they pull away from the Word, and because God let me down. No, God didn't let you down. Amen. You stopped believing God. The Apostle Paul said in verse 25, for I believe God. Listen, if you believe God more, you'll be more of good cheer. And likewise, keep in mind that after the choice to trust and obey God, Abraham and his family never owned any of the promised land. Did you know that? They never owned it. Abraham didn't own it. Isaac didn't. The only thing they owned was a grave site where they buried their spouses. That's all that they owned in the land, and yet that was enough for them. The land didn't have the lush vegetation that is promised, but they trusted God and they believed God. All my life I wanted to live in Florida. I went there once when I was a young kid in seventh grade with my father, and I said, this is where I want to live. I like this place. I saw the palm trees. I saw the ocean. I felt the climate, and I said, this is my place. As a teenager, I had zits. And I walked out in the sun and all the zits went away and I had a lustrous tan. And wow, and I met this young girl and she came up to me. I was like, oh man, she's beautiful. I said, this is the place I want to be. I want to be in Florida. I left there and I was determined to get back there. And finally, I married a wife from Florida, a lovely woman, and got to live in West Palm Beach, Florida. My father-in-law owned a $1 million growing business, and he offered me to be a vice president, company car, get a yacht like your brother's. And this is where you could be. And I said, God called me to be a deacon at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And God called me to be a pastor. And I'm going. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. And I drove up to Scranton, Pennsylvania. So I can relate to Abraham, beloved. I've been here for 45 years. I said, God, if he just whispers, I'll go to Florida. He hasn't even breathed anything about Florida to me. And all I'm saying to you is, how do you do it? By faith. And faith has respect to the recompense of the reward. It sees the future. and it knows that the future is real. And what a blessing that is, and what a wonderful thing that is in your life and in my life. And not only did they believe in the earthly promised land, but they believed in the heavenly city. And it says, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. You say, is there something better than Florida? Amen. I went out to Malibu, and my son showed me around the mansions of the stars. They were $10 million mansions, and we walked around the man. And I thought to myself, oh, ho, hum, ha, ha, ha. I'm not kidding you. There was a time when I used to like to look at mansions and get all enthralled. Now I'm looking at my heavenly mansion. I'm saying, ho, hum, they're nothing. They're nothing. You say, are you being real? Yeah, I used to buy real estate. I was into it. Not that I bought any mansions, but... But I'm saying it's so much better. I'm saying that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived out their faith in God's promises. And so here's how God puts it in Hebrews 11:13. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. That is, they never owned the land. They never physically saw the heavenly Jerusalem. They never saw the birth of the promised child that was going to be king over all the world, the Messiah. They never saw all the physical and spiritual blessings that would flow from their Messiah offspring throughout their entire lifetimes on earth. They never saw any of this stuff. We know they did see it in heaven, though. Amen. Because Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Can you see Abraham in heaven going, ah, yeah, he's born? They didn't see it in their lifetime, but they walked by faith. Beloved, are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? If you are, then I can say to you, be of good cheer, for your future is bright as the promises of Almighty God, and as bright as the God of the promise tonight. Amen. Be of good cheer. Because of the promises of God. Be of good cheer. Because of your faith in the promises of God. But listen, you must feed your faith on God's promises. Why would you turn on that idiotic cell phone the first thing in the morning? Why would you put up and fire up that computer the first thing in the morning when you can go to the promises of God? You ought to have your head examined tonight. By the way, you must commit to base your decisions on the Word of God. You must commit to base your decisions in life on what God has promised and said. If you value that, you will do that. And also, you must embrace them. That is, embrace them for yourself. Some people are embracing some beautiful person that fulfills their desire for fornication, and it turns into ugliness and wretchedness. Because you embrace the wrong thing. Embrace the promises of God. With the empty hands of your faith, you can do that. And then what should you do? Hebrews 11 says, confess what you believe. Tell somebody else what you believe. Share it with somebody else. I get to do that all the time. Amen. I'm doing that tonight. It's good for the soul. Confess it. Tell others what you believe. And go out on the limb. And so cheer up because of the promises from God for you. Cheer up because of your faith in God's promises. And finally, cheer up because of your staying with God's promises. Now it says in Acts 27, verse 31, Paul gave the people a warning. Listen very carefully and I'll be done. He said, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Let me say that again. Paul said in Acts 27, 31, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now that does not mean that you're saved by abiding in Christ. But it does mean if you have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ that you are united to Him, and because you are united to Him by a vital union, that God will see to it that you do abide in the doctrine of Christ and in the Christ of the doctrine. The Bible says they went out from us. They didn't abide in the ship called Jesus because they were never of us in the first place. They didn't lose their salvation, beloved. They never had their salvation. Except ye abide in the ship of Jesus Christ, ye cannot be ultimately and finally saved, because everybody that's saved will abide. He'll see to it. Peter was told, "To whom else shall we go?" Peter said it to Jesus, I'm sorry. He said, "To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, that's a person that will not leave the ship. If you see somebody that's left the ship, turn back and don't look back. Beloved, they were never in the ship in the first place. Right. Because once you're in the ship, you can't leave the ship. He won't let you leave the ship. And he didn't let any of these 276 leave the ship that he promised would be saved. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Cheer up because of your staying with God's promises. If you're staying with God's promises, that's an evidence, listen to me, that's an evidence that you're the Lord's tonight. That's an evidence tonight that you're in Christ tonight. That's an evidence that you're saved. And those that abandon the ship of their profession of faith in Christ were never in the ship of saving faith in the first place. They didn't lose their salvation. They just finally gave up on their fake profession of salvation. That's why Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob never abandoned the promised land to go back to live in the Ur of the Chaldees. And that's why Hebrews 11, 14 through 16 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a better," that they seek a country, I'm sorry, "that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country." I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided. Listen, that's where you need to be tonight. You need to be in that place tonight of staying with God's promises. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever get up on His promises. You say, well, how do you know there's a more beautiful and wonderful place than Florida? How about Hawaii? Well, you say, why do you live your life preparing others for that more wonderful place that you're prepared to go? If you're doing that, it's because you have saving faith. And because you have saving faith, you stay with the ship called Jesus Christ. And you keep on feeding and you keep on following His promises. And if that's the case with you tonight, then you can cheer up, because you got better things ahead of you. Better than Florida. Better than Hawaii. And certainly better than northeastern Pennsylvania. So cheer up! Because of the promises of God for you. Cheer up because of your faith in God's promises. And cheer up because of your staying with God and His promises tonight. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. We've been talking about cheering up and giving you good reason to cheer up. Are you cheered up?